Thanks for the introduction and invitation, and thanks for coming. It's my pleasure to give a talk here today. Anyway, today I'd like to talk about the intrinsic alignment as a new cosmological signal. In particular, I'd like to convince you that intrinsic alignment can be used for exploring some a particular type of primordial non-Gaussianities. My collaborator is these people at Japan and Germany, and the preprint of this work is already available on archive. So if you're interested in this topic, please look at these papers. Okay. The first part of this talk, I'd like to briefly explain what is the intrinsic alignment, what is the linear theory for intrinsic alignment, and what is the observable of intrinsic alignment, and so on. Then I will review their previous works on the imprint of angular independent primordial non-Gaussianity, or a so-called local type primordial non-Gaussianity on galaxy density field. In particular, I will explain the so-called scale dependent bias induced by local type primordial non-Gaussianity. And finally, I'd like to convince you that the intrinsic alignment is indeed useful to probe angular dependent primordial non-Gaussianity. Okay, so let's start with this big picture of intrinsic alignment. And this photo is taken from n-body separation. And this white region corresponds to a high density regions and where halos or galaxies live. And roughly speaking, you can see halo shapes aligned with cosmic web structure. And in fact, I will show you later, halo shapes at large separations are correlated. For example, so these halo shapes under these halo shapes are correlated. And this is called intrinsic alignment. Now, of course, what we can observe in actual observation is not halos, but the galaxies. Now, however, it is already known that the shapes of central galaxies roughly corresponds to luminous red galaxies, actually aligned to with its host galaxy shapes, host halo shapes. This means shapes of luminous red galaxies are actually correlated at long lane, long separation. And in this talk, I will focus on this type of galaxies or halo shapes. And I will not mention central galaxies or filament galaxies. So intrinsic alignment, as I said, is referred to a physical correlation between shapes of galaxies or halos in the large scale structure. And here, intrinsic means this shape correlation is already there before weak lensing distortion. In this sense, we can call weak lensing distortion or weak lensing effect as an extrinsic alignment. And of course, there's already many works on the intrinsic alignment in the context of a weak lensing measurement. That is, people usually consider intrinsic alignment as a source of a systematic error in the weak lensing measurement. That is observed galaxy shape. Here I denoted gamma ij. Consists of a weak lensing component as well as an intrinsic alignment component. Then if we consider odd power spectrum, odd angular power spectrum shapes, then this this contains, of course, lensing odd power spectrum, but we have also lensing intrinsic alignment or intrinsic alignment odd correlations. And if we want to measure a weak lensing signal, so this one, then these intrinsic alignment correlators is seen as a contaminant. But today, what I would like to talk about is not this contaminant. So today I will not mention this aspect of contamination in weak lensing measurement, but I will introduce you that this intrinsic alignment correlation can be seen as a new cosmological signal. So, but anyway, in either case, so both era of weak lensing or the new cosmological signal, we have to model intrinsic alignment theoretically. So the simplest theory is called tidal alignment or linear alignment model, and which predicts that linear alignment arises from the interaction of density P with the surrounding gravitational tidal field. So imagine that there is some density peak here, which eventually corrupts to a hollow. And there's also a tidal field surrounding this density peak. In other words, there's some quadrupole pattern surrounding this density peak. So we have low density here and high density here and low density and here and high density here. Then as universe evolves, this high density peak corrupts to hollows. And in this process, in this corrupting process, this high density peak put out in this direction. Or mass is accreting from this direction, from this high density direction. Then resultant hollow shape should be like this. So this shape is elongated to this high density direction. So this process, or this is very similar to the generation of CMB polarization, although of course the underlying physics is quite different in these two cases. But the point is a quadrupole of density field is essentially equivalent to the gravitational tidal field. So there's very similar picture on this process. So given this linear alignment model, we can think galaxy shape or hollow shape is tracing the underlying tidal field of large scale structure. So assuming linear alignment model, we can write the galaxy shape here denoted as a gamma ij is proportional to the large scale tidal field Kij here with a proportional coefficient bk. So this relation is analog to the number density case. So for galaxy number density, we write this simple relation at linear level. This means galaxy number density traces a matter density field with a proportional coefficient B1. So these two relation is very similar. And another important prediction of a linear alignment model is a sign of this proportional coefficient. So linear alignment model states that this proportional coefficient should be negative. So to explain this, imagine that there is some monotonic plane wave perturbation along this direction. So we have we have a low density region here and high density region here. And for example, this hollow shape should be like this, assuming linear alignment model, because we have a low density here and high density here and low density here and high density here, and the linear alignment predicts the hollow shape is stretched to this direction, to this high density region. Then we have this elongated shape of hollows here. So this means the major axis of this hollow is this direction. Okay. On the other hand, this blue arrow shows the major axis of tidal field here. So this means the major axis of hollow shape is perpendicular to the major axis of tidal field here. So this leads to a negativity of a proportional coefficient BK. So this is another important prediction of a linear alignment model. Okay. So far, I discussed how the halo or galaxy shape is affected by surrounding tidal field. But of course, observed galaxy shape has weak lensing contribution in addition to the intrinsic alignment. So one may wonder how to extract the intrinsic alignment signal alone from the observed galaxy shapes. So in order to distinguish these two components, we should see the difference in the origin of these two effects. So I mean the weak lensing is caused by large scale structure between us observer and the source galaxy. So large scale structure here is causing the weak lensing signal or distortion. Now on the other hand, intrinsic alignment is caused or induced by the large scale structure or tidal field surrounding source galaxies. So large scale structure here is causing the intrinsic alignment. And large scale structure here and here have almost no correlations. So if we consider safe shape correlators, then we will get the lensing autocorrelations as well as intrinsic alignment autocorrelations. But if we consider consider shape and the number density close correlation, so number density is here, then remaining a term is only intrinsic alignment contributions and number density field. Both are tracing the same logic structure or matter density field. So the shape density correlation is the best way to single out the intrinsic alignment signal. Okay. So next, in order to clarify what are the actual observed quantity, I will explain how the intrinsic alignment signal can be measured from n-body simulations. So we run the n-body simulation with L-gadget 2 code, and we identify halos with log stars. Then we can define halo shapes using its inertia tensor for each halo. So this means we approximate the halo shape, this one, as an ellipsoid. And this ellipsoid can be characterized by this IIJ, which is a three-dimensional symmetric tensor. But of course, in actual observations, we cannot know this three-dimensional shape information. So we can only know or measure the 2D projected, two-dimensional projected shapes on the sky. So to mimic this in simulations, we also projected three-dimensional shapes, which is characterized IIJ with line of sight being Z or third axis to the, And so this means that for each position of Harold's, we get 2D ellipse, this orange ellipse at each Harold positions we get, and which is characterized by sub matrix of this IIJ. So what we can actually observe is corresponding to this two-dimensional submatrix element. And from this two-dimensional submatrix, we can construct the ellipticity field, gamma R, gamma plus, and gamma close. And these two fields consist of a spin two field. So we can use an EV decomposition for these two ellipticity fields as a weak lensing measurement. So assuming the linear alignment model, it turns out we have only E field at linear order. So there's no B field at linear order since we are considering only scalar mode. So using this shape field, and of course we also use a density field, we can construct the intrinsic alignment power spectra So which is a three-dimensional perspective of 2D projected shape field. And the linear alignment model, assuming linear alignment model, we can write the simple expression for matter shape cross correlation cross power spectrum or a shape shape E field odd power spectrum like this. And here mu is a cosine of a wave vector k and the line of sight. And as you can see, this intrinsic alignment power spectra have an isotropy characterized by this mu due to the, this is coming from the projection effect, projection of a three dimensional shape field to a two dimensional field. And this relation is very similar to the already well-known Kaiser formula for density redshift space distortion. So, as in the Kaiser formula, we can get a monopole and a quadrupole and a hexadecapole, so on, for intrinsic alignment power spectra. And
the ME term. I mean, so galaxy lensing, I guess, will also generate something that looks like this ME. Mm-hmm. Cross-correlation, right?
Right. But lensing case is here. I'm talking about intrinsic alignment. So galaxy-galaxy mm-hmm. lensing probes a lensing signal. So I'm talking about the large-scale structure here only. You mean the density shape correlation in galaxy gas lensing. In that case, essentially we see the same quantities for this one. But maybe galaxy gas lensing people uses real space correlators, not free space field.
So are you saying that the two are degenerate with each other? Like, is the mu dependent the same?
Maybe in terms of mu, in Fourier space, we should have a same expression. But in usual galaxy-galaxy lensing analysis, people use a configuration space correlations, not the Fourier space power spectrum, right?
I mean, but those two are trivially related, right?
Yeah. But another point is galaxy-galaxy lensing case, people use a completely 2D projected field. So people remove the radial position information. So here, what we have is, of course, two-dimensional shape field, but we keep the three-dimensional position information. But maybe in galaxy-galaxy lensing case, people use a 2D position, not 3D, three-dimensional position. This is another difference in our case and galaxy-galaxy lensing.
My question, I guess, was about whether these two effects can be distinguished from each other, like in practice.
So distinguish from, you mean lensing from intrinsic alignment or?
Galaxy-galaxy lensing compared to this, EM cross correlation.
Maybe we see the same underlying matter field in that case. So it's just a different frame to analyze that, I think.
If there were no tidal alignments, right? Galaxy-galaxy mm-hmm. lensing would still happen, right? And so even if BK were zero, we would still see this cross correlation between galaxy shapes and the matter field, So I'm just wondering, you know, if these two can be distinguished or not. Like, perhaps they can be. Like, I can't tell.
Maybe I think if there's no linear, there's no intrinsic alignment, so or BK equal to zero, then matter and shape matter E field correlation should be zero. But maybe you mean the even in that case, if we got a matter shape correlation, then it is caused by lensing, right? So in of course I skipped the explanation, but of course we have a lensing intrinsic alignment correlation in principle here, for example. And if we have this correlation, then of course we have a same correlation in this shape and density correlator. But this should be very small if we using a very narrow Z slice. So because
so by narrow, so by narrow, do you mean that the that the source redshift and the lens redshift are chosen to be very close to each other? Like is that
No. If source redshift and the lensing efficient redshift is very close, then this correlation have very large amplitude. But for example, in this case, we analyze matter shape cross spectrum in this redshift, in this region only. Then, on the other hand, so lensing effect to these source galaxies is mostly coming from this region, large scale structure in this region. And large scale structure here has almost no correlation with this region of large scale structure of this region. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in principle, we can single out the intrinsic alignment correlation by considering the shape number density field power spectrum.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll let you go on. Yeah, perhaps we can talk more about this later.
So here is a measured E-mode power spectra from N-body simulations. And this gray point shows the matter out power spectrum, and the blue point shows the monopole component of a matter shape, a matter E cross power spectrum. And the orange corresponds to a quadrupole of a matter E cross power spectrum. Now, as you can see, this blue points have a negative value. So this is minus matter E cross power spectrum. So this is one important prediction of a linear alignment model. And we confirm this by in simulations indeed. And you can also see that this matter E cross power spectrum is proportional to the this matter out power spectrum. The shape is looks same on large scales. Actually, this bottom panel shows a ratio of these two power spectrum, these two intrinsic alignment power spectrum, to matter out power spectrum. And as you can see, this ratio is constant on large scales. And actually we can determine proportional coefficient is about minus 0.1. And so this implies that in linear alignment model indeed works on large scales. And this, in general, this large scale constant bias is coming from equivalence principle and adiabatic Gaussian initial conditions. So later, I will discuss what happens if we have primordial non-Gaussianity. But before moving that, I would like to comment on the signal to noise of this shape power spectrum. So this is a cumulative of signal to noise ratio as a function of K max. And the black point is a hollow out power spectrum. This is a usual observable in the spectroscopic surveys. And the blue point is a hollow density and E field coarse power spectrum. It's cumulative signal to noise. This is an intrinsic alignment signal. And the amplitude of our intrinsic alignment signal is order one smaller than Hall clustering signal, since linear bias of shape BK is order 0.1, while the linear density bias is order 1. But at the same time, noise is smaller for intrinsic alignment case than density case, thanks to this variance of ellipticity. Resultant signal to noise of intrinsic alignment is not order one smaller, but it's just 65% of density case, Hall clustering case. So this is not bad. And of course, for galaxy case, signal to noise can be decreased due to, for example, misalignment of galaxy shape to its host heralds, or the uncertainty of measurements of galaxy shapes.
Sorry. Can I ask? So this sigma gamma, that's supposed to be like the shape noise of the galaxies. Is that what that means?
Yeah. Not essentially the same. Yeah.
And it's 0.05. From Lensing, I thought that this shape noise is of order like 30% or something per galaxy.
Yeah. 0.3. Yeah. But actually, essentially the same, but the definition is somewhat different. So in the language of a standard weak Lensing, in standard weak Lensing language, but it should be 0.3,
So or 0.3 from Lensing corresponds to 0.05 in this quantity, you're saying?
I did not show this definition of the sigma gamma 2 squared, but in transforming to a weak Lensing sigma E or variance over shape noise, then we get 0.3 or something like that.
Okay.
Sorry, confusing. Yeah. We think this value of signal to noise of intrinsic alignment power spectrum is enough to use intrinsic alignment as a cosmological signal. And maybe related to the question previously, I'll discuss the importance of a three-dimensional power spectrum. So again, we consider 2D projected shape components, but with keeping a three-dimensional position. So the idea is we can get two-dimensional ellipticity components from imaging or photometric surveys. But if we can have a spectroscopic survey at the same time on the same region of the sky, we can get a three-dimensional position of each herald from spec surveys. So combining these two surveys, we can construct this quantity I've discussed so far. But it is natural to ask whether photometric survey alone can be used for intrinsic alignment for spectral measurements. So where, in the photometric survey, the precise radial position or distance of individual heralds is not available, or galaxies is not available. So to address this question, here we consider how uncertainty in the galaxy redshift galaxy redshift affects signal to noise of an intrinsic alignment power spectrum. So to do so, here we define the two pure two-dimensional shape field, which is obtained from integration of along the line of sight or sub-axis. And for example, here we consider delta chi is about 200 megaparsecs, which is corresponding to usual uncertainty in the redshift in the photometric survey. Now, using this pure two-dimensional shape field, we can get this signal to noise. So blue point is a three-dimensional case, and this brown point shows a two-dimensional case. And this two-dimensional case, we have only 40% compared with the three-dimensional case. So it's important. So this means that it's important to use three-dimensional power spectrum or the combining photometric surveys and the spectroscopic surveys in order to do the intrinsic alignment cosmology using this intrinsic alignment three-dimensional power spectrum. Okay. So next I'd like to move to a primordial non-Gaussian stuff. So here I'd like to review what is the primordial non-Gaussianity and its imprint on the galaxy clustering. So, you know, primordial perturbation in standard inflations, primordial perturbation obeys the galaxy Gaussian distributions, which is completely described by its power spectrum or two-point functions, this one. And this means, in initial conditions, there's no mode coupling between different wave numbers. Primordial non-Gaussianity characterizes a deviation from this Gaussianity, or the standard inflation. And its leading order effect is captured by the bispectrum or a three-point function defined by this. And maybe local, so-called local type is well studied. And its bispectrum can be written as like this. And here FNL parameter characterize the amplitude of the deviation or primordial non-Gaussianity. And typical multi-period inflation predicts this FNL as order is larger than order one. And maybe you know this primordial non-Gaussianity have an imprint on the galaxy clustering on large scales, or so-called scale-dependent bias. So here, let me remind you that bias stuff very briefly. So the relevant question is what determines the local number density or of parallel galaxies? So roughly speaking, there are two factors. One is the local background matter density, and the other is the amplitude of a small scale fluctuations characterized by power spectrum. And in standard cosmology, standard means the Gaussian and adiabatic initial conditions, only the local background can change from point to point. So which means the local power spectrum can be different from point to point mediated by this long wavelength matter density. So here we have a larger background. Here we have a smaller background. On the other hand, in this standard case, this power spectrum of small scale perturbations should be same in this region and this region. So only relevant quantity is this local background, or in other words, this long wavelength matter density field. And if defining B1 bias parameter as a response to the local number density to the change of a local background, long wavelength matter perturbations, we get this linear relation between the galaxy number density field and the matter density field. But if we consider the prime order non-Gaussianity, the situation becomes different. So prime order non-Gaussianity means long wavelength perturbations and short wavelength perturbations are coupled in the initial condition level. So the power spectrum of a local region has a position dependence. So this means some region, we have large fluctuations of small scale perturbations, and at some regions, we have a small amplitude of a small scale power spectrum. And these two are mediated by a long wavelength gravitational potential. So in this case, the expected number of halo galaxies is determined by two factors, actually. So one is this long wavelength matter density field along or the local background matter density field, and the change of a small scale power spectrum amplitude. So in this case, we have to introduce a new bias parameter called B phi here. And this is defined with respect to the change of the amplitude of small scale power spectrum, AS or sigma 8. And this change of a small scale power spectrum is mediated by this long wavelength gravitational potential. So this is essentially equivalent to the change over this long wavelength gravitational potential. So in summary, we have a resultant galaxy number density field have a B1 as well as this which is coming from a long wavelength gravitational potential. And here, gravitational potential is related to the matter density field through Poisson equation. Then we have a 1/k² enhancement on large scales due to that transformation. So this is a very well known result. And here is a measured result for usual prime order non-Gaussianity. So blue points show the Gaussian case. So here, this is a matter Hall number density cross power spectrum. And the blue point is a Gaussian initial condition case. And the orange point is a isotropic prime order non-Gaussianity. And for now, please neglect the green point. And using these features, we can constrain the FNN parameter, which is the amplitude of the prime order non-Gaussianity from galaxy surveys. And next generation surveys, we expect this error of the FNN parameter becomes order one. Okay. So this is stories, but this is a new story. So now we consider a quadrupole local type prime order non-Gaussianity whose bi spectrum is given by this. So the difference between the usual local type prime order non-Gaussianity and this new type of prime order non-Gaussianity is the appearance of this angular dependence. Now here, this is L2, is a Legendre polynomial of order two. And this type of angular dependent prime order non-Gaussianity is predicted by some type of inferential theories. And I denote the its amplitude by FNN S equal two by analogy of this FNN parameter. And this bispectrum introduced some particular position-dependent power spectrum. So in previous case, position-dependent power spectrum is modulated by long wavelength gravitational potential for this case. But for this angular-dependent case, we have new type of modulation mediated by this kind of a quadrupole gravitational potential. So now the small scale power spectrum is modulated anisotropically. And this eventually leads a scale dependent bias of intrinsic alignment. I will explain. So again, what it determines a galaxy or halo shapes in local region. The relevant factors may be the local background tidal field. So this is essentially linear alignment model states. But the other factor is the amplitude of a small scale tidal or anisotropic fluctuations. So, and indeed, if we consider the angular dependent primordial non-Gaussianity, we have an anisotropic modulation of a local power spectrum, and it is expected to this modulation leads to a scale dependent bias for intrinsic alignment or shape field, as in the density case. So, to confirm this prediction, we carry out the foreign body simulation from modified initial conditions. So here let me briefly explain how to generate the initial condition with angular dependent primordial non-Gaussianity. So first, as usual, we generate the random Gaussian field with the variance of power spectrum. Then to generate the angular dependent primordial non-Gaussianity, we prepare the new field, psi ij, defined like this. And this can be easily constructed in Fourier space. And Fourier transforming these two fields to the configuration space and construct a non-Gaussian fields according to this expression. So this is analog to the usual local transformation of gravitational potential. In usual case, we just adding a gravitational potential squared, but now we added the quadrupole gravitational potential squared here. Then Fourier transforming back to free space and then did a usual 2LPT and we learned very large box simulations to see a scale dependent bias. And we have three kinds of simulations. One is the usual Gaussian simulations, and one is a scale independent primordial non-Gaussianity case. And the final is a angular dependent primordial non-Gaussianity simulation. And here is a measured matter density and shape field cross power spectrum from our primordial PMG simulations. And again, so blue point corresponds to the Gaussian initial conditions. And the orange point corresponds to angular independent PMG simulations. So this means we are only adding primordial non-Gaussianity of angular independent type. And the green point shows the corresponds to angular dependent primordial PMG simulations. And as you can clearly see, this in this case, we have enhancement on large scales of intrinsic alignment power spectrum. So the important point is angular independent primordial non-Gaussianity, so range point, has no impact on shape field. On the other hand, angular dependent power spectrum has no impact on density. So here is a various type of power spectrum. So this is a matter Hall density power spectrum and matter shape power spectrum and shape power spectrum. And again, orange corresponds to an angular independent PNG and gray corresponds to an angular dependent PNG simulations. So as you can see, angular independent PNG only affects to the matter Hall density power spectrum. At the same time, so angular dependent PNG affects only the shape matter power spectrum. So in summary, the spin zero and spin two observables. So spin zero is a density field and spin two is a shape field. Observables only responds to angular independent and angular dependent PNGs respectively. And as you might consider, so if we consider Hall density and shape power spectrum, this is actual observables, of course. This power spectrum responds to both PNG, of course. But if we consider Hall density odd power spectrum, then angular independent PNG is irrelevant for that power spectrum. So combining Hall odd power spectrum and Hall shape cross power spectrum, we can simultaneously constrain the both type of primordial Nagoshan. So this is a summary of imprint of various type of primordial Nagoshan. So we have two types of tracers. One is the density tracers and the other is the shape tracers. And we have a very similar linear expression for these two fields. But if we consider angular independent PNG, we have a scale dependent bias only for density tracers. And if we consider angular dependent PNGs, then we have a scale dependent bias for only shape tracers. Okay. So this is a Fisher forecast using a Hall odd power spectrum and Hall shape power spectrum, assuming the survey volume is about 70 cubed. And we consider massive Halls corresponding to luminous red galaxies. And this is a result of this is a resultant forecast. And as you can see, this angular dependent primordial non-Gaussian parameter FNLS equal 2 can be constrained at the level of order 4 or 5. And the current CMB experiment, we got this error is about 20. And you know, CMB experiment is almost reaches to cosmic variance. So there's almost no hope of improvement of this constraint. But in future galaxy survey, and by combining the photometric and the spectroscopic surveys, we can put the tighter constraint on this angular dependent primordial non-Gaussian parameter. Okay. But I have to comment on some challenge of intrinsic alignment cosmology here. So, which is there's a complete degeneracy between the beep psi, which is the non-Gaussian bias parameter, and FNLS equal 2 parameter, which is what we want to really know. So as you can see in this expression, this two parameter is completely degenerate. But as you might know, this is also happened in the density case. In density case, we have a similar degeneracy between B phi and F and L. But in this density, we can have theory for bias. So for example, combining peak theory and assuming a universal mass function, we can relate this response to the change of a small scale power spectrum, B phi, to the usual linear bias, B1, as like this. So using these relations, we can break this degeneracy. But there's no theory for shape bias up to now. So, but if we want to constrain FNL S equal to parameter from this scale dependent bias, we have to develop a theory on shape bias as in the density case. But there's some hint on this theory. So for example, we found there's universal relation between shape bias parameter BK and B1. So universal means this point is independent. Okay, so sorry. This point is corrected from various redshift and various mass of Heralds. But you can, as you can see, there seems some universal relation between B1 and BK. And this suggests that there is some theory for shape bias. And also, if we take a ratio of B psi and BK, then it looks constant over the a wide range of mass and redshift. And actually, so solid line is z equal zero and dotted line is z equal 0.5. And roughly speaking, this ratio is constant over this mass range. So this suggests, yeah, there should exist some theory for shape bias. And I am, of course, working on that. But anyway, so in order to actually constrain the, this angular dependent PNG parameter from intrinsic alignment power spectrum, we have established some theory to break this degeneracy. Okay. And finally, I'd like to comment on the extension to even higher spins. So so far I'm discussing only on the second order moment of galaxy shape. But in general, mathematically, we can define the Lth moment of galaxy shape using a brightness function B, using a convolution here. So of course, I know it's difficult to measure from actual observations, and this is a very futuristic story, but in principle, we can define a higher order moment of a galaxy shape. And we find this Lth moment of galaxy shape responds only the Lth angular dependent power spectrum. Lth means we have Lth Legendre polynomials in the bispectrum expressions. And this type of bispectrum is actually predicted in the, some papers. And this paper predicts some higher spin fields in during inflation have leaves imprint some this kind of angular dependent bispectrum. And also we find the Earth shape moment has only two independent spin components, as in the second shape moment case. So we can construct this spin component by contracting a helicity basis with this Earth moment of galaxy shape. And using this spin component, we can define E field and B field. And in principle, we can construct the E field power spectrum. And this higher moment can be visualized like this. So this is a second moment case. So there's only two type of distortions, plus mode and cross mode. But this can be extended to even higher moment. So for example, for three, for third or third moment, we have like we have such kind of distortion. But even in this case, we have only two types of distortion, this one and this one. And for fourth and fourth moment case, we have some kind of these distortions, and we can proceed even higher moment case. But here, I'd like to finally show the fourth moment case. So this is just a very simple far spectrum, which means we here consider the fourth moment primordial non-Gaussianity affects the fourth moment of galaxy shape. And the blue scaling corresponds to scale corresponds to scale dependent bias. So the interesting one of the interesting point for fourth moment case is that there's no linear order term on large scales. So if there is some primordial non-Gaussianity of fourth moment, then the dominant contribution or the only remaining contribution for a fourth moment far spectrum is only this fourth moment primordial non-Gaussianity. Now, of course, again, it's a really futuristic story because it's very difficult, almost impossible to extract the fourth moment of galaxy shape of a current galaxy photometric surveys. But in principle, we can probe a higher order moments of PNG by using a higher order, higher moments of a galaxy shape. Okay, this is a summary of my talk. So my main message is intrinsic alignment can be used as a new cosmological signal. And especially, in particular, angular dependent primordial non-Gaussianity can be probed by intrinsic alignment of power spectrum. And this angular dependent primordial non-Gaussianity cannot be probed by usual conventional density clustering power spectrum. So this is the end of the story, and thank you for listening. That's all.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kaz. So let's all unmute to give him a round of applause. Okay, we have time for a couple of questions. So any further questions from people in the audience?
Yeah, I had a question about the forecast. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, is this representative of any particular upcoming surveys?
This is not a representative of a particular survey, but roughly correspond to the next generation surveys. So this volume is coming from our simulations. But roughly speaking, order is the same as next generation DAISY and WFIRST or, sorry, I forgot the name. But there are Rubin and subtree. Yeah. So we can expect this level of a constraint from next generation survey.
Just to follow up on that, for your forecasts, I guess that you're assuming that the galaxy shape is the same as the halo shape?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, if we consider the galaxy case, there is a misalignment, so the expected constraining power will be decreased, but maybe not change order.
Why not? So what's known, I guess, about the amount by which the galaxy shape traces halo shapes?
Mm-hmm.
What are the constraints on that?
So actually, in the about 10 years ago, there is some works on the misalignment between galaxy shapes and the halo shapes, and especially for a luminous red galaxy case by Okumura and Jin. And they found in general, there is 30 degrees of misalignment of a major axis of halo shapes and luminous red galaxies, and which is corresponding to a few 10% decrease of a power spectrum. And correspondingly, signal to noise will be decreased. I expect, not so bad, even for galaxy case. But there's no specific value for galaxy case now. I don't know the specific. How decreased in for galaxy case mm-hmm. compared with how it is. Mm-hmm. But I expect. Yeah, it's not so bad.
Any further questions for the speaker?
May I ask you?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you clarify the cutoff which you use in your forecast? Does it conservative or what is the cutoff in your spectrum?
So sorry.
What about the cutoff if your shared spectrum, which you use?
What cutoff?
Yes. What cutoff? What is the number of in megaparsec, I suppose?
So by cutoff, Anton, do you mean like the K-max that he used in his forecast?
Yes. Maybe the
K-max. We use K-max is 0.1, very conservative. So up to that scale, K-max is 0.1, linear theory should work.
Okay, and what about the cosmological parameters? Do you fix them?
Here we fix all other cosmological parameters.
Okay. You fit only the bias and the FNL and the total.
Yeah. So okay. We get the bias parameter from, we determine bias parameters from simulations and only changing the FNL parameters.
So in the interest of time, maybe we should stop here. So let's thank Kazuyuki again.
Thanks very much.